Today, our scripture comes from Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
We give thanks today for the worship band. Thank you, Warren, your leadership, and Shell, and the whole band. Isn't that awesome? I love that song they just sang. Our service uses that music to at the introduction or the beginning of the service, and we hear it every Sunday, but to hear the words to it reminds you how powerful that song is. And today, as we have gathered here to worship, we give thanks for your presence, give thanks for those who are trying to watch online. We've been having a little difficulty with the internet service for some reason. Our provider, Cox, is not giving us what we need on our service today, so it's getting a little sketchy out there, but apologize for that. But as we worship together, and we've heard the Word of God, we've sung the Word of God together and the messages, let us just ask for God now to prepare our hearts for this message time. Will you join me in prayer? God, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the chance we have to be with one another, to be with you. Even if we're alone in our house right now listening to this or wherever we are, God, your presence is always with us. But never more than when we come together as two or more are gathered in your name, you promise you will really be there then. We'll experience your presence in a powerful way. We just pray for that to happen today, God. For those of us here, for those of us watching online, we just pray, God, that your spirit draw near to us, opening our hearts, our minds, with those things that we need to hear in order to become more of the people that you create us and call us to be. These things I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, as we've heard this word about hearing the word of God, I was thinking this week, how many of you are just sick and tired of the divisive, hostile cultural climate that we seem to be living in today? Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm just weary of it. It just makes me weary every day. I find myself no longer wanting to even watch the news because they all have their agenda. You never know who to believe, what's the truth, or what to think. And social media, that's a dangerous place today. I mean, it's a sure place to lose your hope and your faith in humanity. It just seems to bring out the worst of people. Listen, we all want to know what's going on. We all want to stay informed, to be in the know of what's happening in the world around us. And there are so many ways that we can do that now. We have so many options, so much information, just information overload. But we need to be very careful about how we are being influenced by it all. Because the truth is, what we choose to listen to, what we choose to participate in, has a profound influence upon our lives. As much as I wish that I could just wave a magic wand and make it all better and change the cultural climate that we're in, I've come to realize that the only person I really have power or the responsibility to change is me. Me. But the truth is, you have created a cultural context, a cultural climate for yourself that influences virtually every aspect of your life. It influences the way you think. It influences the way you talk, the way you act. It influences your worldview. It influences how you relate to other people. It influences how you approach the future and how you deal with the stresses of today. And we know that most people's cultural climate, life culture, it tends to be a reflection of the culture that they're a part of, that's around them as they're part of their life. I mean, in other words, we tend to mirror the actions and the beliefs and the attitudes of the people and the culture that is a part of us. If you're in an uplifting environment that is surrounding you with uplifting people, then you're more apt to reflect that kind of culture and that kind of lifestyle. And the contrary is also the truth. If you're in a toxic environment, if you're surrounded by negative and self-serving people, then you're more apt to reflect a miserable existence, if you will. And as the saying goes, if you lie with dogs, you're more apt to rise with fleas, just the way it is in life. For this reason, we need to take control. We need to take control of the cultural climate that we create for ourselves. Instead of being a victim, instead of being negatively influenced by the culture around us, We need to take control and create for ourselves an environment that is conducive to a life of spiritual growth. At the end of the day, we have to be able to ask ourselves the question, have the choices that I have made today helped me to grow closer in my relationship with God and to become more like Jesus or not? There is no question that the external world around us, our external climate and culture, has a powerful influence upon our lives. And so you need to do everything you can within your realm of possibilities to put yourself in the right kind of situations, to surround yourself with the right kind of people. But I really think that the cultural climate of our life is probably more determined by our inward thinking, our inward world. That's our thoughts and our feelings. Because those are the things that shape our words and shape our actions. As Paul tells us, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's really what this current series is about. We are in the second week of a series of sermons we're calling Something More, where we're looking at how we can experience the abundant life, the something more kind of life that Jesus promises his followers. And as Christians, I think that's something we all want. We all long for it. We yearn for it. And it should be what we're all striving for, to experience more of the presence of the living God in our lives every day, to become more like Jesus every day. That's what we want. And this something more kind of life begins by creating a something more kind of environment for yourself. In order for you to experience spiritual growth in your life, you want to nurture those things that you want to grow, and you want to weed out those things that are hindering your growth. And so this something more kind of life can be thought of as a garden that you need to tend to carefully. In order for plants to grow in the garden, they have to get the right kind of sunlight. They have to experience the right kind of climate, the right kind of nutrition, the right kind of care. And the same is true when it comes to our spiritual lives. In order to grow spiritually, you need to create the right kind of climate. You have to create the right kind of environment, the right kind of culture for yourself. And last week, we looked at how we begin that journey toward a something more kind of life by realizing that we have to acknowledge that something is not right, that things aren't as they should be in our lives. And so we are in need of what God has to offer us. You have to come to that point. And it's also hoping and knowing with confident expectation that this isn't all there is, that the thirst that you have in your soul can be quenched by the presence of God in your life, a growing personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, you may find yourself feeling lost, alone, wandering in the wilderness, desperate with thirst. But that thirst does not have to last forever. It can be quenched. When you turn to Jesus, he will lead you to the green pastures and the still waters of his presence. Today's message, we're calling surround sound. I think you're all familiar with that term. Because what we're talking about here is how what you hear influences who you become. What you hear influences who you become. And I'm kind of putting that word here in quotation marks because I'm really referring to every kind of outside influence that comes into your life, the things that you listen to, the things that you watch, the things that you read, whatever you give your attention to. In other words, everything that you put into your brain or you allow to get into your brain can be thought of in this context as what you hear. For what you hear, what you pay attention to, again, has a profound impact of influencing your life and who you become. I think we've all heard the term garbage in, garbage out. that term actually originated in the early days of computer. It was meant to mean about the quality of code or information that's put into a program determines, you know, what you're going to get out of that program. Today we often say bad data in, bad data out, or good data in, good data out. In other words, what comes out of a computer program is determined solely upon what has been put into it. And the same can be said of our lives, of our spiritual lives particularly. What you're constantly pouring into your brain has a profound impact. It'll ultimately influence the way you think, the way you talk, the way you act. This is why the Apostle Paul says in our text for today, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You may be more familiar with the New King James Version of this. There's the verse where it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In other words, the more that we hear the word of God, the more that we meditate upon it, read it, listen to it, watch it, whatever it is, the more that you hear the word of God, the more your faith has the opportunity to grow. Later in the series, we're going to be looking at controlling our thought life. But today, I'm specifically looking at taking ownership of what goes into your brain, into your mind, into your very soul, in terms of what you hear, what you see, what you listen to, and what you read. And we're going to address three things that I think we need to do in order to create this environment of a culture that is conducive to spiritual growth in our life, that ultimately helps us to experience that something more kind of life that Jesus promises his followers. And the first thing I think we need to do is you need to become aware of what is influencing you. Be aware of what is influencing you. To say that the things that you see, the things that you listen to, the things that you watch, that you read, or the people you associate with don't have any influence upon your life is just to deceive yourself. It's so not true. Because some of these things that we listen to, read, and watch, they do influence and shape who we become. But the key word there is some. Because not everything shapes who we become and who we are, but some things do. And we just have to become more aware of how and to what extent these things around us are influencing us. For instance, I love to watch action movies. You know, I'm an avid Marvel fan. I've watched all the Avenger movies. I'm a Mandalorian fan. I watch all these kind of shows. I have lots of other action shows that I like to listen to. And it's not uncommon for the characters in these shows to decide to settle their differences by taking each other out. I mean, that's really what they do. Usually the main plot of the show is how the bad character in your show gets killed by the good character. It's kind of an oxymoron, to say the least, in that regard. But as many action shows as I have watched over my lifetime, and as many conflicts as I have been in with other people, the thought has never crossed my mind that we should settle our differences the way that they do in these movies, by trying to take each other out. Maybe there was a couple of times where I thought about that, but I'm trying to say that my love for action movies doesn't necessarily influence my behavior to act out in that way. Thank goodness. Of course, there are some people who are influenced and motivated by violent games and by movies, but there have been times when I have recognized that my worldview is being shaped by the kind of movies I watch, by the things that I'm listening to, the songs, the music, the books that I read. For example, have you ever watched a movie about rich people enjoying life? And what is communicated in that movie is that real happiness comes from material wealth and possessions. After watching that show, you found yourself feeling like maybe I missed out on some of the best things of life because my life has not been rooted in the pursuit of material things and wealth. Or have you ever watched a movie whose message was that revenge is sweet? Or that life is really meaningless? Or that moral absolutes don't really exist? Or that it's okay to ridicule some kind of people? Or that sin is really no big deal? Have you ever watched a show or a movie that influenced you to be less committed to doing the things you know are right? A lot of people will watch violent shows and they never resolve the violence. And if you have some people who watch the comedians on the late night talk shows making fun of other people, and they begin to think it's okay to ridicule and to mock others, which is more dangerous? Here's what I'm saying. It is up to you to take the responsible step of evaluating what you hear, what you read, what you're listening to, And to be aware, to become aware of how those things are influencing your life, how much of an influence they're having upon you. As much as I'm often tempted to do, you know, we can't just withdraw from the world. We can't have no TV, no internet, no reading, no music, or anything. That's just unrealistic in the world we live in today. You know, sometimes it's tempting. Instead, when it comes to what you hear, you just have to be discerning about it. You have to ask yourself the question, what is this message that this particular media is trying to convince me of? And am I willing to buy into it? And you have to do this not only with the movies you watch, the books you read, the music you listen to. You also have to do it when it comes to the news you listen to today. You have to ask yourself, am I getting the whole story here? Or am I just being presented with somebody's agenda? It happens a lot in the news. This kind of discernment will mean that you'll be a lot slower to jump to conclusions whenever you hear a news report. It'll also mean that you'll be less likely to have your worldview shaped by someone who makes their living getting you to click on a link. When it comes to evaluating the things that influence us, we just have to be more discerning about what those around us are saying. And you just have to realize that there are people out there whose sole aim in life is to just speak negativity to anyone who will listen. That's all they do. They're so deeply entrenched in the gloom and doom worldview that there's just no room in their conversation for faith or for hope. I mean, their talk is about nothing but criticism and condescending of others and all this stuff. They really don't care about anything other than trying to get you to believe that they're right and everybody else is wrong. They're not talking about a loving God or about loving others. And again, you have to ask yourself, how much am I willing to let those kind of people influence me? So the first step, I think, to creating this culture or an environment that is conducive to growing spiritually in your walk with Christ is to practice discernment. It is to recognize and to choose who will influence your life. And here's the second step, and that is to eliminate the worst offenders. Listen, there are television shows that I used to watch, enjoyed watching, that I no longer watch. Because at some point I realized that there's really nothing uplifting in these shows, and there was nothing really worthwhile for my life, that any good purpose that I got by watching them. And there are artists that I used to listen to, but I no longer listen to. Because over time, at some point I realized there was nothing uplifting in their music. And there are certain news personalities that I no longer listen to, and certain columnists that I no longer read, simply because over the years I've recognized that what they're saying is so inflammatory, often inaccurate, that I don't want to give them my time. You know, I don't want to get wrapped up in that. King David once said these words. He said, "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I think we need to be like King David nowadays. We have to be selective, often ruthlessly selective, in what we listen to, what we hear, what we read, what we say. And it also means you have to be selective about whom you choose to associate with. The Apostle Paul says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." There are some people that we just need to try to ignore. Some people we just need to try to avoid at all costs. I know that's can be difficult if you got to live with those people at work every day, or maybe they live in your house. But you just need to try to not let those people influence you all the time. If you want to create a climate for spiritual growth to take place in your life, you have to eliminate the worst offenders. Those voices that tend to drag you down and to discourage you in being a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. And then here's the third thing I think you need to create as a part of a culture that is conducive to spiritual growth, and that is to build your day around uplifting things. Let me ask you a question. What is the first thing you do in the morning when you wake up? Besides go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, and get your clothes on. Yeah. What's the first thing you tend to do? For some of you, it may be, okay, I'm going to turn on the morning news and the television set and see all the outrageous, newest things that are happening in the world. Or maybe it's that you're going to go to your phone or iPad or computer and watch, see what's on Facebook and what everybody's complaining about on there. Or maybe as you're driving to work, you turn on the radio and listen to the DJ laugh at his or her own jokes all morning long. Or perhaps as you're making your coffee in the morning and you're preparing your breakfast, you turn on some uplifting music that draws you into the presence of God and makes you become aware of God's presence as you begin the day. Or, you know, if you've got time in the mornings, maybe you sip on your coffee in your favorite recliner and you spend some time reading the Bible or reading your morning devotion or doing your morning prayers so that your day begins off on the right foot in the right direction. Then as you're driving to work, maybe you turn on the radio and you listen to an uplifting audio book or uplifting music. And then at lunchtime, if you lunch alone, maybe you can find somewhere to read something or to listen to something that is uplifting and draws you into God's presence. And then at the end of the day, when you get home and you're the work is over and the family activities are over and you're exhausted, ready to just veg out and zone out on some television, choose to watch something good. And today there's so many options, so many opportunities. There's more options than we've ever had for uplifting things that you can watch on television. Listen, I'm not saying that you should never again watch a sitcom or an action movie or any kind. What I'm saying is that we have a choice to make each and every day of our life. Over and over again, we have these choices. And when you choose to build your day around uplifting things, you're creating that culture, that environment for spiritual growth, a closer walk with God. King Solomon, I think, said it the way. He says, the discerning heart seeks knowledge, but the mouth of a fool feeds on folly. It's kind of like going to eat at a buffet. Some of you may be heading to a buffet today after church, but I like going to a buffet. There's just so many things to choose from, right, when you go to a buffet. And oftentimes, the things that are the most attractive on a buffet are the least healthy. They're probably the worst things for you. Ever notice how that's the way it goes at a buffet? So you have to ask yourself, what are my best options here? When it comes to a buffet, I learned that when I choose to fill my plate with the best options first, then I have less room for the worst options. And the same is true when it comes to life. So throughout the day, as you're considering what you're going to read, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to watch, who you're going to talk to, ask yourself, what are my best options? What will build me up spiritually? What will lead me in the direction of a closer walk with God? Listen, every day we have choices that we make. We're surrounded by choices. Everything from the songs that we listen to and that we sing, to the films that we watch, to the programs we tune into, to the stations we listen to on our radio, the books we read, the websites we visit, to the people we associate with. We're surrounded by this wall of information and sound every day. And what you choose to listen to watch, to read, these things have the power of seeping into your subconscious and shaping who you are, what you believe, what you say, what you think, who you become. So today's message is really a simple challenge to define your own culture, to create an environment around yourself and all that you hear that will lead you in the direction of God, a closer walk with God, to become more like He calls you to be. As Paul says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let's be determined to hear the Word of God for our life in every way that we can, every day in and out, throughout the day as you decide what you're going to watch, what you're going to listen to, what you're going to participate in, what you're going to read. Ask yourself, what are my best options? Choose to build your day around content that will bring you closer to Christ. Because perhaps by that, we will be able to help others do the same. Will you pray with me? God, we live in a world today that is so filled with information, noise and distraction, so much negativity. It is so easy, God, just to get lost in that. But what's more dangerous, God, is we confess that we have been shaped by it. Our emotions have just become weary from it all. And we listen to it. We engage in it. We find ourselves being overwhelmed by it and at times left feeling hopeless. And we know that's not how you call us to live. Help us today, God, to choose you, to choose to build our lives and to shape our lives upon the things that bring hope, faith, and to create us to live as the people you call us to be with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, help convict us and forgive us. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness, all thought that has been shaped by the negativity around us. And to be resolved, Lord, to follow you. To listen, to hear your word in our life in every way that we can. So that we can be your light in the darkness around us. That we can influence others. And we can convince others that there's a hope. And there's a faith and there's a purpose beyond what we experience. So God, we thank you for this. Call us to this, Lord. Give us the courage to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.